Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. David Noble, great to have you on the show, as always, every Thursday here. You know how it goes. It's like you get into the show and you start talking and taking phone calls. And it's like, man, before you know it, man, I got like a dozen messages on the Montana Talks app here that I
felt terrible when I was...
Wow, great messages.
Yeah, when I was guest hosting, I felt terrible, especially when we had some of those big guests in with, you know, Senator Tom Cotton, you know, Tim Sheehy in the House, Ryan Zink, all these guys here, and I'm getting all these messages, you know, 10, 15 messages over the course of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and I felt bad because I just simply didn't, and then you get callers, and then it's like, okay, I feel bad because I can't get to all of it.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's funny. It's like, you think you have all the time in the world, and before you know it, you're like, man, I had like 8 other calls I wanted to get to. I got 15 messages here.
Yeah, it's like when I tell my wife the night before, I'm like, geez, I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm going to be able to talk about. I don't know if I'm going to run out of things to talk about. And it's a laugher. It's a joke.
Well, and what's kind of funny, too, is like, yeah, 4 hours is a lot of time on the radio, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. But, you know, in the early morning hours, you know, we have news and weather and this and that and the Hannity commentary. And, you know, so that breaks up. It's a fast moving couple hours, 6 to 8. Then we get to stretch our legs more in the 8 o'clock hour. But even if you were running out of gas by 9:06 in the morning, that statewide hour, oh, my goodness. It's just like once you open up, I mean, we're pretty much statewide right now anyway, Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Livingston, listeners on the app. But then when you pick up, you know, Plentywood, Malta, Glendive, Lewis, it's like, whoosh, man, it flies by.
You really start to understand what Rush Limbaugh was talking about when he would say the fastest 3 hours in media.
Yeah. Well, Rush was I was talking with some friends yesterday. I wish actually it was Greg Franks who mentioned this. He wouldn't mind me mentioning his name. I wish that they would create a Rush Limbaugh podcast where you could just go back and all of Rush Limbaugh's old. I know there's clips and there's various places where you can find it, but how cool would that be to be like, you know what? Later today, I just want to spend 2 hours listening to Rush, because Rush's commentary was timeless. How many times do we see a Rush Limbaugh quote get shared randomly and you would think he was still alive today because what he said 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 20 years ago still applies today?
It's so interesting. I mean, you really look at the political issues in our country. They're the same as they were at the founding. And I was doing Bible study last night on Twitch. You know what's so wild? Immediately, and I was in Acts chapter 14 through 16. And what was so interesting is immediately after Jesus's resurrection went back, the first Christians, the first church Christians, they were arguing amongst themselves about the very same issues Christians argue about today, which is, hey, do we really have to follow Mosaic law that closely? Hey, do we really have to be circumcised? And they were debating that issue. And of course, the answer basically was no. What matters is what's in your heart. Those old, you know, like structure. But there was still people at the time, and it's like the same in the United States with our Constitution, and it's like we're still arguing about the same issues, the size of the government, the scope of the government, the role of the states, all those same issues, hundreds of years of it.
Yeah, one of the messages I got on the Montana Talks app, I shared this great clip from Gutfeld last night, and thanks to one of our listeners, where is it here? She said, hey, that was Emily Campagno was the one who asked that question. Oh, Mary in Belgrade. Mary, thanks for that message. Yeah, she was awesome.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Pundits predict the presidential election will be close, so should people prepare for contingencies? There's only one true contingency for this scenario, and it's called a contingent election. Don't feel badly if you've never heard of a contingent election. Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution and the 12th Amendment address the process to settle a dispute in the Electoral College, where no candidate scores the magic number of 270 electoral votes. In a contingent election, the House selects the president, the Senate picks the vice president. But let's first explore scenarios for a complicated Electoral College tabulation, which could trigger a contingent election. The possibility of a 269-269 Electoral College tie is real. Let's say Vice President Harris loses Pennsylvania and Georgia, but she prevails in Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and also collects singular electoral votes in Maine and Nebraska. Or let's say that states can't certify who won, leaving either candidate short of 270 electoral votes. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine developing across the area today, high temperatures stay from near 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect mainly clear skies, lows around the mid-40s to 50 range, and then the outlook for Friday does call for sunshine, highs from 70 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 70s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David Noble in the house. Yeah, David, I wanted to give a shout out because I think Mary in Belgrade could tell us, like, this gal on Gutfeld last night had this great question for President Trump, because Trump had this really cool appearance on the Gutfeld show, and Gutfeld had his whole panel there. And so Trump's just sitting on the couch like everybody else, Tyrus and crew. But yeah, it was Mary in Belgrade who said, hey, good morning. I wanted to let you know the lady on Gutfeld is Emily Campagno. She is fabulous. Yeah, her name was escaping me. So Mary, thanks for that message. It was interesting because she asked Trump about the evangelical vote, and Trump basically said, yeah, evangelicals are great people. They're a huge voting bloc, but too many of them simply don't even vote.
Unbelievable.
And gun owners, it's just the same way. Yeah. Hunters, outdoorsmen, same deal. So many of them, they share our values, but they simply do not.
I was just talking to a friend recently who loves to ride motorcycles, loves to do snowmobiling, and he was talking about how, yeah, it's really unfortunate how, you know, we used to be able to go ride motorcycles and do snowmobiling in our national forest and all this other public land, but it's all been shut down and it's all been blocked off. They put up the roads. They're expanding the wilderness study areas. They never take them out of the wilderness study. And he's seen in his life over the decades, you know, just all of this public land get locked off and blocked off for motorized use. But what he told me was stunning. He said, he saw my Tim Sheehy sign in my yard. And so we started talking. But he said, I don't vote and I'm not going to vote. And I'm like, so you're sitting here talking about how you're a motorcycle rider. You're a snowmobiler. You're personally seeing over the last couple decades how all of our public lands are getting locked off and blocked off with roadless areas and putting up gates on the roads and locking off the. And yet you won't vote. And it's the same. It's that exact same thing that Trump is talking about there with you've got a bunch of Americans. And I think it's the same with Democrat voters. And somebody had commented, like, do you really think all the Democrat voters are radical leftists? And I'm like, no, I don't think all the Democrat voters
are. Not the voters.
Not the voters.
Their elected officials are nut jobs right now. But, yeah, but not the voters themselves, some of them. No, that is such a great point. We got to get your buddy. We need to get him to become a member of, or at least link him up with Kerry White and Citizens for Balanced Use, because CBU, that's the guy they fight for. And I think if he's concerned about those issues, okay, we'll try to get you registered to vote, but let's at least get you linked up with CBU so you can start, you know, figuring out how to fight back against all these access closures.
Do you know if Citizens for Balanced Use has endorsed any of the races or anything like that?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if I'd have to ask Kerry. Might be listening right now. I don't know if they do endorsements or anything like that.
Or if they're more just policy focused. Or
They've always been policy focused. Not just policy focused, but like, or deep state focused, like bureaucracy focused, like when you're
right, because it's these unelected bureaucrats that are shutting this stuff down.
Yeah,
a lot of times.
If it's a, you know, if it's a Democrat appointee, now, you know, basically the Democrats, because they have the White House, they control the Forest Service, they control the BLM, and so when Tracy Stone Manning, John Tester's buddy, the eco-terrorist running the Bureau of Land Management, when she comes in to shut down your trail or shut down your road or shut down coal leasing or give a perk to the APR, that Kerry White, actually, he called in Tuesday in the 9 or Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. We had him on taking the fight to her and calling those guys out. But no, it's such a perfect point. Like, and the friend that you just described is a lot of my friends in Butte, for example, that love to snowmobile, love to get out there and hunt. And they have the same complaints. Why do the places that I like to go and do my outdoor activities constantly get shut down? Well, it's because of the radical environmental groups, liberal judges that John Tester put on the bench. And so, guys, like, you've got to not only you've just got to start voting your interests more and just stop doing things the way you've always done them, whether that's voting for Democrats because that's what your union boss told you to do, or not voting because you just don't vote. You've got to change that habit if you want to keep your hobbies.
Yep. No, I mean, that's
change your habit to keep your hobbies.
So one of my Twitch watchers last night was made the comment that, look, it's going to take Argentina level economic crisis in this country for the American people to finally tune in and stuff. And you saw that in Argentina, where it had to get very, very bad in Argentina before those the Argentines or whatever, Argentinians, whatever they're called, finally threw out the radical left and put in somebody with some sane economic policies. There was a massive Wall Street Journal report this week about how a really interesting story about the federal debt, and how it's interesting because you see the federal debt skyrocketing and becoming a real, real concern. However, on the political side, you don't see either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump proposing spending cuts or balancing the budget.
About it. Yeah. It didn't even come up in the debate. Yeah.
And the Wall Street Journal takeaway was, it all makes sense. So even though the federal debt is a serious concern and we are facing a potential crisis, and the Wall Street Journal reported, someday, investors might just stop buying our U.S. Treasury bonds, and that's going to be a crisis. But what they said is, like, it makes sense that these politicians like Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and stuff are not talking about the issue because the voters aren't demanding it. The voters are demanding more spending. The voters are demanding tax cuts. The voters – and so you've got – you know, it's like Kamala Harris.
If Congress came in and cut, you know, this program or that program or this program or that program, there would be this outcry from this special interest group or that special interest group. And then all of you out there who support cutting spending or at least claim to support spending, you wouldn't rise to their defense. You wouldn't rise in opposition to those special interest groups. So, yeah, you make a great point, which is we can sit here and blame politicians all day long, but the fact is – is the more the people keep demanding the spending, the more we're going to continue the crisis.
Well, and that's one of my pet peeves is when people are like, oh, it's all the politicians' fault, or oh, it's all the party's fault, and oh, I hate these parties, the party's this and the party's that, it's all the rhinos. Well, no, they're just reacting and reflecting what the voters are demanding.
Yeah, they're just in Rome, giving the crowd what the crowd wants to see, and then you get surprised by the carnage. One of the questions that you wanted to ask Governor Greg Gianforte about on Wednesday's Montana Talks were these proposed ballot initiatives. We got his response on Wednesday. We're going to talk in particular about CI 128 on Thursday's Montana Talks. Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation is going to weigh in on this legal analysis regarding CI 128. It's about more than even just this radical abortion measure. Thursday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Well, at times we felt like we were going to either float away or fly away as the rain continued to pour across central Montana for the 50th Montana Angus Tour, but that did not keep 400 participants from seeing some outstanding cattle across the Judith Basin. One of our stops was at Stevenson Angus outside of Hobson. I caught up with Daryl Stevenson, who also serves on the American Angus Association Board of Directors.
My hat's off to anybody that's actually put on one of these production. It's not easy. Preparation starts months in advance. I mean, everybody says it's always a good excuse to clean the place up. And the fact is, we have seven regions in the state of Montana, so it does circle around once every 7 years. We're very proud of the fact that this is actually the 50th Montana Angus Tour. My grandparents were actually integral in the first Montana Angus Tour in the 1970s, and it just continually impressive on how this thing just keeps going and getting stronger and bigger every year. And the outreach of not only genetics, but the network and camaraderie that we build is now international, literally. We've got 31 states and 7 countries represented on this tour right now.
The Montana Angus Tour will conclude this afternoon at Arnts and Angus Ranch in Hilger. I'm Wayne Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Oh, man, so much to talk about, and especially when David Noble's in the house. I want to get his take on so many different topics. It's like, what are we talking about next? Where do we go next? I want to play this clip, David, real fast here. This is Kamala Harris. This is even more audio video evidence of her radical gun control position. This was unearthed by the National Rifle Association. Listen to what Kamala Harris has to say in this newly unearthed video.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community, and just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
Wow. Here we go. Let me get the right mic.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, John Jackson had tweeted out saying, it looks like Kamala Harris must have skipped that day in law school when they talked about warrants and probable cause.
There's probably more than just one day in law school, isn't there? Probably.
Like a whole class on criminal law where you talk about, you've got constitutional rights against exactly what Kamala Harris is talking about. But so I don't know how she missed that one. But she's talking about violating our constitutional rights right there. Blatantly, numerous constitutional rights, violating our Second Amendment constitutional rights, violating our Fourth Amendment constitutional rights. That's egregious.
Yeah, I mean, she basically said that even if you think you have a legal right, even if you legally own those firearms, don't think that we're not going to come into your house and still demand to inspect those firearms.
And make sure that you're being responsible with it, which means that it's locked up, it's the keys thrown away. You know, they want your guns locked up and the key thrown away so that if you actually have a home intruder, you actually can't get to it, and it's all locked up, and you know the bullets are or rounds or whatever or somewhere else, and it's like you throw the key away. It's like, okay, well, what good is the gun at that point?
Yeah, what's their definition of responsible? I got a good idea of responsible. I want one of these fancy safes from Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
You get, next time you're home in Manhattan with your family, stop in at Northwest Safe of Bozeman, right there in Belgrade. They got some of the coolest safes ever. I mean, you can put your legal documents in there and all sorts of stuff. Have fun with it. But what was the other thing I wanted to get to here? Oh, the Teamsters president, the head of the Teamsters. This came out yesterday. Actually, let me roll this tape here, and then we will get a reaction from David Noble. Here we go. The Teamsters Union not making an endorsement in the presidential race, which is a major slap in the face to Kamala Harris.
The Teamsters Union revealing nearly 60% of Teamsters Union members voted in support of former President Trump in two separate polls, independently done electronically and by phone. Vice President Kamala Harris receiving just 34% and 31% support, respectively, in those polls. Tonight, while campaigning at a Bitcoin bar in Manhattan, New York City, the former president called the Teamsters Union polling results a big thing and, quote, a great honor.
The Teamsters carry a lot of weight. The Democrats cannot believe they didn't. You know, look, this is, it was always automatic that Democrats get the Teamsters, and they said we won't endorse the Democrats this year. So that was an honor for me.
In a major win for former President Trump, for the first time since 1996, the Teamsters Union leadership is opting out of endorsing the Democrats' presidential candidate.
All right, so in the interest of time, I'll cut that clip just a little bit short here. But a poll was also released of these Teamsters Union members. The union members themselves overwhelmingly favor Donald Trump, and yet the union bosses still wouldn't endorse Trump. But nonetheless, it's a slap in the face to Democrats.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see it's, and I don't know what percentage it was that was in favor of Trump. Like, was it 55 or 60?
I think it was like 66%, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Well, the number that I saw that was surprising was it was only like 30% or 33% or something for Kamala Harris, which is really surprising to see only 33% of union workers supporting the Democrat nominee. I loved another clip that where Trump was asked about that, and the interviewer was like, well, Donald Trump, the Teamsters Union is not endorsing anybody. And Trump, it's a great honor. It's a wonderful honor, a great honor and stuff. And, you know, because it really is. That mere fact that they're not endorsing the Democrat is a big honor to Donald Trump. But I think you're right. I mean, why not just endorse Trump when an overwhelming majority of your members support Trump?
Well, and why do the union bosses have veto power over their union members? I mean, that's my other question. Remember when School District 2, at the last minute, the night before school started, forced teachers and students to wear masks?
That was so devastating.
The union members themselves voted overwhelmingly against the mask mandate, and yet the MFPE, which is the statewide Democrat union front group, public employees union, they slapped the teachers in the face. Even the local union bosses for the teachers union in Billings slapped their own members in the face. How do union bosses get to over? Do we need a union in the union to stand up to the union bosses?
It's the same thing with Democrat politicians and the voting public. And I loved one of your tweets back in 2020 where you said, they're losing the consent of the governed. And so whether it's the union bosses going against the wishes of their union members, or it's the Democrat politicians going against the wishes of their constituents and the general public, it's the same thing.
Well said. All right, back in 60 seconds with the great David Noble. Plus, taking your phone. Similar question about an hour ago in the 6 o'clock hour about these union bosses basically going against the wishes of their union members. Sean and Shelby said this: it's a slap in the face to members. I quit paying fees a couple of years ago while still working the same job because of the union's democratic corruption. That's what Sean and Shelby had to say. Let's go to Logan in Roundup with a quick question or comment. Logan, great to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Was just driving on my way to work today, this morning, and I heard that clip you guys played of Kamala Harris talking about coming into your house and making sure that you are being a responsible gun owner. Well, forget her law, quote, school knowledge that she has. I think she needs to understand basic English, because coming into a Montana taxpayer home who's armed, that's not very responsible. And the definition of itself, I think she just kind of portrayed an oxymoron there. Because you ain't coming into my house to check and see if I'm being responsible. Yeah, like, you know, you need a warrant or probable cause. But if you just think you're going to come into my house willy-nilly and ask me if I'm using my guns responsibly, I think that would be a proper time to show you the responsible demonstration of what responsible gun ownership is.
That would be very irresponsible of you to do. What a great point. What a great call there from Logan and Roundup.
I don't want to even think about a situation where Democrats take control and start going door to door talking about guns. That is a terrible, terrible idea, and is going to be an unfortunate, unfortunate situation.
I had somebody, I think it was a listener in Lockwood, say that, you know, because Lockwood's got some cool hill country, so, you know, they have a long drive up to their house, and it was night, and one of these John Tester door-to-door campaign operatives comes walking up the gravel road with a flashlight. He's like, you know, you're obviously not a Montanan, or you would know, you probably don't want to go walking up somebody's driveway with a flashlight at night, you know. And so,
yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of people, I think a lot of, correct me if I'm wrong, don't most Montanans believe that if you're in your home and somebody is on your property without your permission, that you should have the right to shoot? Well, that's the castle, or if they're trying to come inside
to
your house.
Yourself. You have the right to defend. Yeah, the castle doctrine, the right to defend yourself.
And I don't even know what Montana law is on that issue, if we're a castle doctrine state or whatever. I just know that I think most Montanans think that, hey, if somebody's trying to come onto my property and I tell them, no, hey, you're not welcome here, get off, and they don't, That's when people think that they're allowed to, and I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association would be the guy to talk to for the specifics, because we've had a few of these castle doctrine cases over the years where the courts have rightly said, yes, you had the right to defend yourself. But then there was this case of this German exchange student in Missoula that was breaking into garages and stealing things, and he got shot by one of the homeowners. And so there was that case out there as well. Man, we already got to take a quick break here. We got Tim and Billings on the phone lines. ABC fake news. I got a clip that I want to get David's reaction on that Elon Musk just highlighted.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
240 years ago, the Constitution envisioned the states as laboratories where different approaches to problems and policies could be tested. In that spirit, perhaps it's time for Montana to go in a different direction in our tax system. Why do we even have taxes? They exist to support the activities of government. They are compulsory because no one will pay them if scofflaws couldn't be denied the benefits. With that in mind, the best possible taxes are those that accomplish that aim with as little distortion to economic decisions as possible. Treat different people differently and the same people the same. That means the best tax is the one you can't avoid, not by growing cherries in your backyard, not by registering your RV in a different county. A strong case can be made for taxes based on consumption. Those who consume more pay more tax, not in addition to what we already have, but instead of it. It's an innovative approach. It's probably dead on arrival politically, but new thinking is needed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Tim in Billings, stand by. We're going to get to you. I'm going to call a quick audible here. We got a caller on the phone lines, Jody in Belgrade. Let's go to next here. Here first, Jody. Thanks for the call. It's either been a while or maybe a first-time caller. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, this is in regards to that SAVE Act. That is a very, very bad thing. Kelly Nelson took that act apart. Her article, she was on talk radio, but I believe her article, a copy of her article where she really takes that act apart, she researched it all. And it's once again, it gives the invaders more rights than we have, passes the Real ID Act on all of us and puts and crimps down on us. You can read her article, I believe, on newswithviews.com. It's a Christian website. But we definitely do not want the SAVE Act. And once again, they're making it look like, oh, yeah, the American people, it doesn't help us at all with the invaders. Huh. One other comment.
Well, send that to me if you can. Send us a link to that, because I'd love to read a different take on it, because everything I've heard is this SAVE Act would require proof of citizenship before people vote in our elections, which is a good thing. But, hey, if there's something else we haven't seen about it, I'm definitely open to hearing a different take. What was the other comment yet?
Okay. Yeah, just please go to that newswithviews, VIEWS.com website. And her name is not Kelly Nelson. It's, I think it's spelled different, Koligh.
Yeah,
Nelson.
Okay. Yeah, or if you have it, send it to us. Better yet, because you know how these search engines don't like you to be able to find what you're looking for. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Let's sneak in another caller here. We got Tim in Billings. Tim, what's on your mind?
Morning, gentlemen. I wanted to call and say, did you happen to see the news yesterday that President Trump is the first president and former president in the history of the world to make a purchase with a cryptocurrency? He went to a crypto-themed nightclub or restaurant in New York, and he purchased everybody in the restaurant food. And you know, cryptocurrency is it's kind of a hard thing to understand, but the biggest thing about it is if it's decentralized, if it's a decentralized currency, then your governments can't manipulate it as easily, and your central banks can't manipulate it, and you can actually have peer-to-peer transactions without any interference and with anonymity. You know, I could send David something of value that he could use to purchase something of value, and the government doesn't have to be involved at all. And that's a real threat to the power structure around the entire world. And so if President Trump is beginning to embrace cryptocurrency, that's going to be a great thing for all the people around the world.
Interesting. Yeah, that soundbite that I played in the report about, let's see, what was it? Anyway, I played this Trump giving reaction to the Teamsters not endorsing the Democrats. That quote actually came from that crypto bar, because he had a big rally, huge rally in New York, I guess, yesterday as well. But crypto is such a foreign concept to so many of us. I mean, we get like online transactions where you use electronic methods to pay for stuff, but that's still based off of cash and you know, dollars, etc. But this, so this whole idea of crypto is just a foreign concept to, I think, a lot of us still.
It is. I agree with Tim that it'd be a great thing to have President Trump in office and promoting crypto. And Trump has said he wants America to be the center of crypto in the world. And there's a lot there to talk about. I love those clips of Donald Trump at the crypto bar yesterday. Donald Trump is out and doing lots of things. There was also a clip of him giving a present to a little boy that had, I think, a learning disability or something, and Donald Trump gave him a present and said, this is the best present you're ever going to get. And it was kind of cute and really good. And Trump is out there doing all this stuff constantly, you know, out. And Kamala Harris has still not done a press conference. And I was watching Mike Johnson get interviewed.
What, 60 days now? She's refused to do a formal press conference of any kind, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was watching a clip of Mike Johnson on Fox Business yesterday, and the Fox Business host was truly shocked and incredulous and asking Mike Johnson, okay, we now are a couple of weeks, I mean, people are actually already voting, which is just so outrageous to me that people are already voting, and early voting in Pennsylvania is just ridiculous. But we're now basically, you know, within weeks of now the election, and this Fox Business host was asking, is this really possible, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson? Is this honestly possible that in the United States of America in 2024, we might have a president get elected who's never done a press conference, who's never answered any tough questions, who's never explained any of her policy switches? Is this really going to happen in the United States of America? We're going to potentially elect a president who's literally never done a single press, never taken a single tough question. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, that, and Mike Johnson was like, yeah, that it is possible, and that's the sad reality where we're at.
Yeah, that's right. Although former Speaker Newt Gingrich, was on, was it with Hannity or somebody? I think he was on with Laura last night. He pointed out several reasons why he thinks Donald Trump can win New York State. I still don't see that happening, but Lee Zeldin almost pulled off the governor's race, and so that would be massive if that happens.
Donald Trump was saying that he thinks he can win in New York as well. Everything that I was reading was, no, Trump's in New York and on Long Island to help the congressional Republicans there, because the U.S. House could be decided by those New York congressional races. But Trump is out there saying he thinks he can win New York, and he's talking about how, look at what's going on in your city. You've had hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens dumped into that city, and it's causing a lot of problems for the city. And so, I mean, folks ought to be voting for Trump if you're in New York City, if you're in elsewhere in New York, for the same reasons we all vote for Trump.
Yeah. You talk about Trump going everywhere. I mean, he shows up at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, you know, in a predominantly black neighborhood, and they love him. They're like, wow, it's Donald Trump. This is he was at this crypto bar. John Tester has been in absolute hiding. Do you remember, though, I talked about this at 6:06 in the morning, so a lot of you may have missed it, but remember when John Tester, our listener in Eastern Montana, she shared a photograph of him on a horse, and he was wearing like sneakers. He was wearing running like Skechers while he was riding a horse in the one of the very few parades he actually wasn't afraid to show his face at. But apparently, it took like four guys. It took like Heavy D and the boys to load this guy onto this horse. I mean, people felt bad for the horse, right? We've seen a photo of this. I'll bet somebody has video. Somebody needs to offer a reward for somebody to share the video of John Tester, who couldn't even get on a horse on his own. You know, to your big, I think you asked the best question of the whole campaign cycle, which is, when does John Tester ever do Montana things?
Right. When was the last time he went camping? When was the last time he went hiking? It's like, look,
hunting, fishing, yeah.
Right, anything. I mean, what's
floating?
Hilarious?
You don't even need to fish. You can just float the river.
Well, that's what I actually prefer doing when I float. I like just to float. But, no, I mean, John Tester's – I invited John Tester to come on Montana Talks when I was guest host.
He didn't get back to you.
No, he never even responded. You know what's so weird about that, too, is like, okay, so I live stream on Twitch. I come on the radio show, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I debate leftists online all the time. That's one of the fun things we do on Twitch, is we debate each other. And so It's just mind-boggling to me that a U.S. senator and a candidate for U.S. Senate isn't willing to actually take a tough question. Same with Kamala Harris. Yeah. It's like, I'm willing to take any question from any leftist, any Democrat, because I can explain my positions. I've thought these things through. I can answer these questions. And then they'll point out, hey, well, one of your ideas might have this negative consequence. And I can say, okay, that's fine, but the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
But
you can answer. Calls. We take phone calls all morning long where anybody can call in. And it is, I think I could count on John Tester's three-fingered hand the number of times when we haven't taken a phone call. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, we might be short on time. It might have to be quick, or maybe we have a guest and we ran out of time, so we didn't take your phone call because of those reasons. But it wasn't like, oh, we're not taking Ken in Great Falls' call. No, we let Ken come in. He called in when you were on the show. Evan and Belt said this. Apparently, John Tester has as much trouble getting on a horse as Joe Biden has staying on a bike, and Kamala Harris has getting into a dress. I'm not familiar with that reference there. I've seen more leadership from a herd of sheep than these three clowns. That's what Evan and Belt had to say. But yeah, John Tester has as much trouble getting on a horse as Joe Biden has staying on a bike. That's pretty funny. That's a good one.
Oh, that is good.
30 seconds to go. Is there a topic you want to talk about?
I actually had a woke update.
Oh, we didn't even get to the woke update. See, there you go.
And actually, I don't know if you guys saw this story out of Missoula. Did you know that they're now the Missoula cars are having to come in and have their tires replaced because somebody in Missoula is putting all of these little like metal devices on the streets and in cars? And
really?
There's an NBC Montana story out this morning. NBC Montana, Missoula Police Department investigates sharp objects found in car tires. And wow. Obviously it's a woke leftist.
Well, it's the eco-terrorists have been doing that in yep. Europe. Of course they do it in Missoula, too. Yes, email that to me if you can, or yeah, well, I'll get it.
This episode is brought to you by Microsoft Azure. Turn your ideas into reality with an Azure free account. Get everything you need to develop apps across cloud and hybrid environments, scale workloads, create cloud-connected mobile experiences, and so much more. Discover what you can create with popular services free for 12 months. Learn more at azure.com. That's AZURE.com. And sign up for a free account to start building in the cloud today.
Fox News commentary.
Meta rolled out a new version of Instagram for teens, but will it help? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something? Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
Instagram parent company Meta rolled out a new version of the platform for teens. Teen accounts come with a host of new protections like built-in privacy and parental controls designed to give parents more access and jurisdiction over what their teens are doing and seeing on the app and for how long. The teen accounts are automatically private, which requires permission to add followers. In addition, these accounts also have a sleep mode and time limit controls designed to keep teens from endless scrolling and unlimited screen time. Meta is the first social media company to roll out these features, and while it will no doubt cut into the time spent on their platform, the company said it's willing to take the dip to safeguard the health and well-being of young users. You know, I have a lot of criticisms of Meta, and rightfully so, but this appears to be a very positive and proactive move by the company. Social media is a powerful tool, and it should be treated accordingly. Parents, the ball is now in your court. Don't drop it. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Shot and getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do got a caller on the phone lines that we want to get to here. Real quick, I had a message from Jeff in Belgrade earlier. He says, I'd like to know more about a threat about a school shooting in Belgrade today. If you heard anything or have any information, please. And David, you heard my phone ring during the break. I'm like, oh, who is calling my phone? Oh, it's the public school with their automated update. And basically, it was the Billings Public Schools saying, basically, they were saying, hey, if you guys have heard about a potential threat, there's nothing to it. It started on the East Coast. It's same things happening all across Montana. And so same. So I'm sure other people have the same question Jeff in Belgrade has. Yeah, it's by all accounts they've investigated. It's a hoax. But it used to be that the media would never report on bomb threats or hoaxes like this. But now it's like they all love to get their internet clicks, and so they'll report on every time. Oh, there's a threat. Oh, there's this, and then everybody gets all, you know, up in a tizzy about it, etc.
Hey, well, I like personally getting internet clicks too. Actually, I've got a YouTube video. Yeah. I put up a YouTube video yesterday about the federal debt and the root cause of the federal debt, and kind of went through that Wall Street Journal report I was talking about earlier about how the American public is demand Kamala Harris's plan: $6,000 for child credit, $50,000 for businesses, $25,000 for new home. And I'm just sitting there thinking, wait, where is Kamala Harris? 3 million, we're going to build 3 million new homes, and $25,000 down payment assistance, and $50,000 for small businesses, and $6,000 for child tax credit. Where are we going to get the money for all that? That's insane. That's an insane amount of money. And then, of course, Donald Trump is frankly doing the same thing. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. It's like, folks, we can't just keep spending. And of course, the taxes have nothing. And I went through this in my YouTube video. Actually, studies have shown, like, over time, it doesn't matter what the tax rates are or what the tax deductions laws are. The federal government collects about 18% of all income in taxes, and that's pretty much steady. The tax side has nothing to do with this.
It's the spending.
It's all the spending side.
Yeah, because tax cuts are actually good. If you let people keep more of their own money, it'll help the economy, which will then bring in more revenue, and so that actually works. It's spending that's the problem. Gary in Billings, we're short on time, but Gary, I wanted to sneak in your phone call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I look forward to you coming on the air so I learn something. But what really irritates me is these fake polls come on that Camille is leading Trump, and you're wondering how in the heck can she continue being that popular and run the country down like she does, and she can't speak. And the Democrats seem like they're always way ahead. But I got a question. Remember the phrase, what is a woman? I'd ask, what is a Democrat? And we need to deplore that so that we understand their thinking. I don't
know. Yeah, I can answer that one for you. What is a Democrat? It's these people that now claim to be Republicans in John Tester campaign commercials. They're actually Democrats, but they call themselves Republicans. You know?
Everybody.
That's a Democrat.
I love the Kamala Harris ads and stuff where she's got, I'm a hardcore conservative MAGA Republican, and I'm voting for Kamala Harris. It's like, no. Sorry, no.
Or the lady who claims, well, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I'm voting against Tim Sheehy because he's pro-life. The Republican Party has always been a pro-life party. Like, oh, but you're going to vote against this one Republican, yeah, because of that issue? For Pete's sake. Nobody's buying your garbage.
I think Gary brings up a good point, though, about, like, these polling and what's going on with this. And I was looking at this last night on Real Clear Politics. RealClearPolitics.com has this great, like, poll data set, and you can look at, like, Kamala Harris's favorability. I think – and if you look, it's actually hilarious. Kamala Harris's favorability. She was like 20 points underwater almost the entire time she's been in office. And then as soon as she got the nomination, her favorability is now just skyrocketing. And I think she's peaking at the wrong time. I think she's peaking right now, and she's going down from here. And Donald Trump is going to rise to the occasion and do
well. Mark Lauder pointed it out that in the battleground states where it matters, Trump is outperforming 2016 and 2020 right now. David, great to see you. I wish you could stay.